Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We continue looking at a book titled Saints, the Standard of Truth. It is a history book published by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in 2018. And one of the reasons why we felt to go through this book is because even though it's not as detailed as the documentary history of the church and even the comprehensive history of the church, it does seem to be a bit more transparent in some of the early history of the Mormon movement. Unfortunately, the narrative style, I think, does not help in understanding a lot of the intricacies of the LDS movement in those early years. It does tend to bring out, and I think you would agree, Eric, a lot of the sufferings and the hardships that the saints went through in those early years, which, of course, the Mormon church has often played up on the emotional aspects of his history. And this is one of the ways that they, well, I hate to say it, but keep their people in the fold.
Well, I think one of the hardest things for somebody who is in the church and has been since the beginning of their lives and their ancestors go back is the pioneers and all that they had to go through. And so for somebody who's a great-great-great-granddaughter of somebody who was around when Joseph Smith was around, and to leave this is not only leaving your faith, but you're leaving your heritage. And that's how it's considered oftentimes by families.
I'll never forget a conversation I had with a young man down on the streets of Manti during one of the Mormon miracle pageants. And he told me that whenever he starts to doubt his Mormon faith, his mother sends him downtown to go see some of the films that hopefully will encourage him to hang on, even though he may have a lot of doubts. In yesterday's show, we were talking about how the saints now eventually moved to Commerce, Illinois, which was later called Nauvoo, Illinois. And there was a malaria outbreak, and the book gives the impression that Joseph Smith was, of course, going around touching people and healing them. On page 402, it says that he went with Wilford Woodruff. Wilford Woodruff would later become the fourth president of the LDS Church. And it says, all morning they had been moving from house to house, tent to tent, taking the sick by the hand and healing them. I commended the church for not stopping with giving the impression that Smith was able to heal everybody that he touched. We talked about this in yesterday's show, and I don't want to spend a lot of time going over that again. But on page 403, it does say that Joseph's efforts to bless and heal the sick did not end the spread of disease in Commerce and Montrose, which was a town across the Mississippi River from Nauvoo. And it says, as more people died, 18-year-old Zina Huntington worried that her mother would succumb to the illness as well. And the story goes on to say that her mother did die. And this is what leads us to the topic of today's show. It said, when her mother died, Zina was overcome with grief. Knowing the family's suffering, Joseph continued to attend them.
Page 404, it says, during one of Joseph's visits, Zina asked him, will I know my mother as my mother when I get over on the other side? More than that, he said, you will meet and become acquainted with your eternal mother, the wife of your Father in heaven. Have I then a mother in heaven? Zina asked. You assuredly have, said Joseph. How could a father claim his title unless there were also a mother to share that parenthood?
And this brings us to a very unique teaching in LDS theology that not only is there a father in heaven, which is certainly something that Christians have historically shared, but this father in heaven is married to one they call Heavenly Mother, or a mother in heaven. That's the phrase that's used here on page 404. The LDS Church has not gone away from that teaching. In fact, they could say they doubled down on that when they came out with a Gospel Topics essay that addresses that very issue. But notice Joseph Smith uses this as a way of comforting Zina, saying, as it says here, More than that, he said, not only will you know your mother, he said, but you will meet and become acquainted with your eternal mother, the wife of your Father in heaven. Now, Christians have never believed this. They've never felt that an omnipotent God would need to have a physical spouse in order to create spiritual offspring, and that's the way it's understood in Mormon theology. This is certainly a unique teaching to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Let's just be very clear about it, Bill. It's not a teaching that is found anywhere in the four standard works of the church. In fact, Joseph Fielding Smith, the 10th president of Mormonism, said in his book, Answers to Gospel Questions, Volume 3, page 142, the fact that there is no reference to a mother in heaven, either in the Bible, Book of Mormon, or Doctrine and Covenants, is not sufficient proof that no such thing as a mother did exist there. If we had a father, which we did, for all of these records speak of him, then does not good common sense tell us that we must have had a mother there also? And so it seems like many of the leaders who do talk about it, what we have when we look back 50, 60, 70 years, it seems like the words of logic and reason, that this seems to be natural. It seems to be an assumption that Latter-day Saint leaders have made, but they have no scriptural backing for it.
I want to add on to what you just cited there from Joseph Fielding Smith. Joseph Fielding Smith's son-in-law, who was Bruce McConkie, a Mormon apostle in the Mormon Church, he died in the mid-1980s. He, in his book Mormon Doctrine, this is the 1966 edition, page 516, concurred with what his father-in-law had to say.
Implicit in the Christian verity that all men are the spirit children of an eternal father is the usually unspoken truth that they are also the offspring of an eternal mother. An exalted and glorified man of holiness, Moses 6:57 from the Pearl of Great Price, could not be a father unless a woman of like glory, perfection, and holiness was associated with him as a mother. The begetting of children makes a man a father, and a woman a mother, whether we are dealing with man in his mortal or immortal state.
Here is, again, another admission that it's an unspoken truth. It's an argument from silence. But as you mentioned earlier, Eric, they are assuming that because it takes a man and a woman to have offspring, that is also important for even God the Father to have a woman in order to produce offspring. And of course, in Mormonism, they teach that all of humankind are the literal offspring of God the Father and a heavenly parent. Now, during the polygamy era, in the mid-19th century, this was kind of expanded that not only did God have a heavenly wife, but he also had heavenly wives. And just as you mentioned that this subject of a heavenly mother is not something you often hear, especially in places like General Conference, you certainly don't hear any Mormon leaders today talking about God the Father or Heavenly Father, the one they call Elohim, having a polygamous relationship with numerous heavenly mothers. Now, Orson Pratt, who's mentioned in this book quite prominently, Saints, he, as a mathematician, felt it was imperative that God have numerous heavenly wives. Otherwise, it would be mathematically impossible to create all those bodies for those spirit children awaiting to take on human form here on earth. But the point we're trying to make here is this is, in fact, a teaching in the LDS Church to this very day. It's not one that they have abandoned. Now, here's what I find fascinating, Eric. It was that same Joseph Fielding Smith, the father-in-law to Bruce McConkie, who also said, and this can be found in Volume 3 of the book Answers to Gospel Questions, page 144, where it makes a reference to Genesis 1:26 and 27 as somehow implying that God is in fact married to a heavenly mother. What did Joseph Fielding Smith say there?
In Genesis we read, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Genesis 1:26 and 27. Is it not feasible to believe that female spirits were created in the image of a mother in heaven?
Now the reason I wanted to bring this citation up is because they take Genesis 1:26 and 27 as somehow implying that this can refer to a heavenly mother. But that's not what Joseph Smith said about this passage after the Joseph Smith translation was finished, according to Smith, in 1833. Smith explained that that reference, "Let us make man in our image," was speaking of God the Father and Jesus Christ. There's no implication that it's talking about a heavenly mother at all. He said it was the Father and the Son that were engaged in this conversation. So what Joseph Fielding Smith is doing, and what I think a lot of Latter-day Saints do with Genesis 1, 26 and 27, is they eisegete the passage, making it say something it doesn't say at all. Now, I want to bring out, before we move on, that if Joseph Smith was saying that this is a conversation between God the Father and Jesus, Latter-day Saint, if you're listening to me right now, ask yourself, did Jesus have a physical body at that time the conversation was taking place? No, he did not. Even in Mormonism, he does not take on human flesh until the incarnation. So to assume that this somehow also means that God has a body of flesh and bones is a bit of a stretch, because Jesus at that time, the one they call Jehovah, the pre-incarnate Christ, did not have a body of flesh and bones at that time. So to assume that this is talking about a God who has a body of flesh and bones would certainly be erroneous.
A poem that was written by Eliza Roxy Snow, one of Joseph Smith's plural wives, is still sung today in LDS chapels. It's called "O My Father," and the third stanza says this: "I had learned to call thee Father through my spirit from on high, but until the key of knowledge was restored, I knew not why. In the heavens, are parents single? No, the thought makes reason stare. Truth is reason, truth eternal, tells me I've a mother there."
And that's found on a plaque even at the Pioneer Memorial Monument, which is at 140 East 1st Avenue, just east of the Church Administration Building. If you walk up 1st Avenue, it's not that long of a walk. On the south side of the street is the Pioneer Memorial Monument. There's a wrought iron fence that goes around it, and this is where Brigham Young is buried, along with Eliza Roxy Snow and several others that were very close to Brigham Young. And you will see, if you walk into that monument, turn to the left, you will see this large granite fixture with a, I guess it's a bronze plaque showing the image of Eliza Roxy Snow's face. And on that granite marker are the words to this song that you just read the words from. I'd encourage you to go see that if you're in the Salt Lake City area. And you will see that the Mormon Church still very prominently is proclaiming to the world that they do believe that there is such thing as a heavenly mother.
And yet, as we read from Apostle Bruce R. McConkie, this what he calls an usually unspoken truth. It has no pedigree going back to any of the scriptures. I just think that's problematic to have such an important doctrine and not to have it mentioned at all in any of the scripture. That sounds odd to me.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.